We have been talking about one another. There's nothing more important in your life than the people with you right here. It's the one another that Jesus came for. He came to seek that which is lost. But he came not to bring them back into individual room, but he came to bring them into a family. And so even though Jesus individually transforms us, that transformation power, that salvation, that redemption has only one purpose, and that is to make us into the family that God desires to walk with. And so if we are going to experience the salvation of God that we all desire, the freedom that God has given us, we need to realize that is not a personal standalone thing. We need to begin to therefore embrace one another. We need to realize that this thing called salvation, this thing called redemption and forgiveness and freedom only functions within an environment of one another. In fact, it is the church that Jesus longs to build. We've been looking at the statement that he made, that he said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Everything that the enemy has done to break the plan of God, Jesus said, "I will break that through the church." Because you see, when we begin to understand the need for one another, then we begin to move into the true meaning of this relationship that God has brought us. And so we've been looking at, how do we build the church? How does Jesus build this church that's going to be so powerful that it will break down the very gates of hell in our own life, in our families, in our homes? And it happens through the church. So how do we become the church? How do we experience that? And we've been looking at all the commands that the Word of God has given us, and there are so many, because it's constantly bringing us to that place. We've looked at loving one another, which is the overarching thing, that all of it is under the umbrella of loving one another. And how do we love one another? We love one another when we accept one another, when we embrace one another, when we encourage one another, when we give of ourselves to serve one another, when we begin to forgive one another, when we begin to allow each other that freedom to be who they are, even in our struggles, and yet we still embrace them, when we lean upon one another. In all of those things, we grow together. Everything that we do, we begin to become stronger and deeper connected with one another. Well, today I want to look at another area that we are called to begin to put into place in our responsibility towards one another, and as we grow in our connection to the church. And so we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 10, and a verse that we have read before and is so familiar with us, and verse 24. And this is what it says. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." It says, above all things, or along with all things, you see, we need to stir up one another. We need to stir up one another. Now, why is it so important that we stir up one another? The problem is, and the idea in some of your translations, it's stir up. In some, it's actually fan the flame of love and good works. Because this idea of stirring up, it's kind of like this picture here of a good campfire. How many know that in the wee morning, in the wee hours of the night and in the morning, that campfire, if you're ever out camping, it starts to grow dim. Although it may still be hot and you might still see those coals, but the fire begins to go out. Even many times when there's still wood on the fire, but yet it needs to be stirred up. And when you stir it up, and when you breathe into it, it begins to bring back the flame of warmth and heat and that flame that brings life. And so it's the same way with us. That when we serve God, it's not that we don't love God anymore. It's not that we are not passionate for him. But how many know that there are just times that in the long journey of life, the wee hours of the morning, we sometimes begin to dwindle down and our flame is not there. And we need someone to come along and stir us up, to bring that life back into us. And that is what we are here for one another, because different one of us at different times, we just grow cold and we need to be stirred up. And God desires us to be stirred up, because it's when the passion of the flame of the passion of love of God burns within us. It's then that we give off heat to warm others. It's then that we have that ability to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in us. And so we are called to stir one another up. It says we need to consider one another to how we can stir one another up. Now, here's the thing. We are good at stirring one another up. The problem is what we are stirring up. Throughout the Bible, if you look at through Proverbs and so many other areas of Psalms and even the prophets and areas, it gives examples. It says a lot of times we are stirring up strife. We're good at that. We stir up anger in other people. That's easy to do. And sometimes it's even enjoyable. We sometimes, you know, if there's things that we just like to give them the little poke and prodding, because, you know, maybe they've irritated us, and so we're going to give it back. And so it's easy to stir up strife. You know, it also says that many times we stir up division, because, you know what, we're good at claiming our own territory. And so we stir up division because we want everyone else to you're either on my side or you're not. And so we begin to create barriers, and in doing that, we stir up division within the church. We stir up me against you, and it becomes things that separate us rather than bring us together. We're good at stirring up controversy. You know, we like to share those tasty little things. Did you hear what is happening with that? And we stir up gossip, and we stir up rumors. You know, because it's almost like that forbidden little candy that we're sneaking that cookie out of the cookie jar that mom said not to take, and so we stir up those things. And again, all of these things they don't benefit, but they harm. Another thing we stir up is we stir up desires, we stir up harmful lusts within us, and I'm not talking just sexual things, but we stir up the desires that are of the world, and we love to, and it's not necessarily even a bad thing, but the desires of the world and the things that we love to do, even within the church, the activities and those things become more important than what God is doing, and so we stir ourselves up to fun times, and it's good to have fun times. And it's good to enjoy life. But when that becomes the passion and the flame, and that's what we're stirring up, then we're missing the point, that's not the point of the church. The church is not supposed to just be a country club where we come together and enjoy all of those things. And yet we're good at stirring that up. But yet, if we look at this verse, Jesus said we need to stir one another up. In spite of all those other things are like putting the wet blanket on the fire. They are actually causing the fire to go out, to become dim. And so we need to stir up the passion and the flame that God wants in the church. If we are to be the church that comes against the gates of hell, then we need to be on fire with the fire of God, not the fire of this world. Because you see, if we're burning with the fire of this world, we are not going to tear down the gates of hell. We are simply going to build them even stronger. And so the first thing that it says there, it says that as we come together as the church of God, if we know the freedom that God has given us, if we have experienced the redemption of Christ, then therefore, how much more so do we need to stir up one another to love? You see, this is the purpose. When we come together, are we stirring up the love of one another? Are we stirring up our love for God? Do we stir up love for God when we come together? Is our focus on how good God is, and we just become contagious because we love God so much that we begin to stir that up in one another? You see, to stir it up, we've got to begin to get it to grow in others, and it's got to start in us. Not only do we stir up the love for God and a passion for God, whether it's in worship time, whether it is in study time, even if it's in fellowship time, we can stir up, we can be moved by the love of God and the passion of God. That's what we talk about, that it's in our heart and it begins to overflow into our relationships with one another. But not only do we stir up a love for God, but we stir up a love for one another. Do we encourage love for one another? When those other things are being stirred up, whether it's the strife, whether it's the anger, do we bring in a new fire? And we are able to combat that by bringing a love for one another, that we can intercede in those situations where we can step in and say, you know what? God has brought us together. We can put these things behind us. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, because they are going to know God. Can we stir up love for one another? You know, when those rumors are being stirred up, when those desires are being stirred up, can we come in and say, man, we are one family, and begin to be the very bridges that bring people back to love for one another? You see, it's our responsibility to stir up love in the church. And I know many times we wait for someone else to do it. Well, pastor, you're in charge. You need to... Guys, I'm not the stirrer, okay? I only am one person in this group. We are all have to stir up these things. Because if you're waiting for one person, no matter what church you're going to, if you're waiting for the pastor to do it, or if you're waiting for the teacher to do it, it's never going to happen. That's why it says we are to stir up one another into love. But not only love, it said that we are to stir up good works. Now, here's the danger, because in stirring up good works, many times we begin to judge. This is not judge people on their works. This is not beginning to criticize people for their works. It is beginning to put so much love in them that we want to begin to work for one another. Because those works, what are the works that he's talking about? It's not works of religion. It's not how much do you go to church, or how much do I teach Sunday school. It's not how much, I mean, those things are works. But he's talking about works of the Spirit. We're talking about loving one another, serving one another, encouraging one another. All of the things that we talked about, the one another's, those are the works that God is calling us to stir up, that we need to begin to love each other so much that there is a desire to give ourselves for one another, that to build the church. And we are to stir up one another so that there naturally grows from within a church that is working for God. In other words, that's not just hearing it, but that's doing it. Do we stir up one another to action? Do we stir up one another to serve God in a deeper way? That the love becomes not something that's just within, but love that begins to be something that's without. So in other words, the works is just the outflow of the love. We stir each other up to love, but then we stir each other to do something about it because of the love. And we need to begin to be people that do that. And we're going to look at how we do that in a second. But not only are we to stir up love and good works, the third thing that we need to stir up is kind of the source of that. And we look even at another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And he says this, Paul is talking to Timothy, because Timothy is a young pastor and new to the church. And he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So not only are we to stir up love and we are to stir up good works, but we are to stir up the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Now, it's not just our individual gifts. That is something that we are to stir up. But the gift of God that is in us through the laying on of hands of prayer, and he's speaking of when they came together and they prayed together, it was the gift of the Spirit. This is what we're called to stir up more than anything, is we need to stir up the Spirit of God. In other words, if we don't start stirring up one another people, we are a dead church. It's just a boring place where we come and sit and listen to me, which is not the most exciting thing to do. But when we begin to stir up the Spirit, there is life. You see, then the flames begin to, because I'm telling you, the flames don't come from one another. The flames don't come from sermons. The flame doesn't come from fellowship. The flame comes from the Spirit. You see, when we begin to love God so much that we want to live for one another, it is the Spirit that begins to grow within us. So Paul says, stir up the gift of the Spirit within you. Begin to consider, how can we stir up the Holy Spirit in this place? That we are not just here to go through a club meeting. We're not here just because we all have similar things that we like to do together, or because we're just a bunch of friends that like to get together. We are here because God has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus, and there is a power in the Spirit of God. When we begin to stir up the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, we will be a church that is filled with power, that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Because it's not about our abilities. It's not about how good we do church. It's not about being the biggest church. It's not about getting more people here. Man, if we could get 100 people in church, then we'll really come against the gates of hell. We could have 1,000 people here in church, and the gates of hell could stand strong. But when we stir up the Spirit of God, God said, "When where my presence is, there is power." There could be only 10 people here, and if the Spirit of God is stirred up, then the gates of hell start to shake. We need the power of the Spirit of God. So if we are to stir up one another, if we are to be the church, we need to recognize that my responsibility is to begin to be part of bringing the Holy Spirit into this place and to begin to encourage each other to experience the move of the Spirit. It is as we stir up love, as we stir up good works, as we stir up the Holy Spirit, we begin to see the body of Christ begin to melt together into one. See, that's what God wants. God wants us, that's why he uses the picture of marriage. That he says that a husband is to love the wife just as Christ loved the church. Because the church is a picture of a bride. Okay, and the bride and the bridegroom, when they are married, it says they are now one flesh. They are no longer two, but they are one. And yet many times, as we are part of the church, we have come in as individuals and we leave as individuals. And we have never allowed the Holy Spirit to begin to melt us into one another, that this is the church. It's not 50 different people that believe the same thing. We are one body. We are one family. And that happens when we stir up the Holy Spirit hot enough to begin to melt away our wants and our rights and our priorities to where it's no longer us, but it is God now. And it is only God that matters. And when we begin to stir that up in our own heart, and when we begin to stir that up in one another, when we begin to have a desire to see God move in our neighbor more than even what I want from God, you see, then you begin to have a heart that God has for the church. So my question is, do you desire to be whatever you can be to let God move in your neighbor? Are you willing to be whatever God needs you to be to speak the Holy Spirit into those around you? Whether it is through prayer, whether it is through encouragement, whether it is through example, We need to begin to understand that our purpose, that every time we come to church, I want to be there when the church opens, not because I need to be at church or not because I'm going to hear what's going to, I want to be there because I want to be a part of the coal that will stir the fire, and that maybe if I'm not there, the Spirit will not be as full. We need to understand that we all are part of making the Spirit a flame and a fire in this place. But do we come to church with that intention, with that purpose, that I want to see the Holy Spirit move, and I want to be a part of the reason that it does move? Because when we come with those expectations, that's what creates the stir of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit comes where He is wanted. Understand that. Now, the Spirit's already there, but He begins to move when the people hunger for Him. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, because they're going to be filled. In other words, there is going to be a fire where people are willing to stir it up. When people come together because they want to see their brother and their sister be touched by the Holy Spirit, are we willing to stir up the gift of the Spirit that God has given and put within us? Or have we just been happy to keep what God has given me? What is our purpose in the church? To create a church that makes a difference and not just a church that other people drive by and, oh yeah, that's just one more church. Let's stir up one another. When we begin to do that, we make a difference. So how do we do that? You see, it's not because we need more wood on the fire. Many times, God has given us enough kindling. God has given us enough materials. See, some people say, well, the fire's gone out. We need some more material. You don't need anything more. God has given us everything we need. What we need is simply to stir up the fire so that what is there begins to catch fire again. And so how do we do that? The Bible tells us the first thing we need to do is we stir up one another by reminding each other. We need to remind each other what God has done. We need to constantly begin to remind each other what God has done, what God has promised. Because how many know that that's what we forget sometimes? We grow cold because we forget why we're here. We begin to think that we're here to make another dollar, to pay for our house payment, to pay for our car, to send our kids to college. That is not what life is about. You know, if you never got those things done, your life will not be judged on that. And so many times we forget what life is all about. Our life is going to be judged on what we have done with Christ and what we have done with others. And so we need to remind ourselves and others who God is, what He's promised us, and what He has done for us. And that's why it is so important that as we come together, that, you know, the only thing we talk about many times is what's going on in politics and what's in the world. You know what? We need to even forget that stuff. We're not here to remind each other how bad the world is. How many know we all know that? And yet many times that's all we do is remind each other of how cold we're getting. And we remind each other of all, you know, we need to start reminding each other of how good God is. We need to remind each other the promises of God. And not just in relation to those things of the world. We don't even need to talk about the world. We need to just begin to lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, men will be drawn unto me. When we come together, will we start to remind each other, God is good. God is good. Begin to give testimonies of each other. Begin to think on those things. That's why times like Sunday school is important, because we need to get in the Word and be reminded what Jesus says. And even as we discuss things, and we have great discussions in Sunday school and in Wednesdays, some of you have never been here on Wednesdays or Sunday school, and it is times, it's not about, you know, getting everything we want, it's about reminding, being reminded. And in the midst of that, you see, we get a little bit stirred up. You see, every time we come and we learn something new about the Word, it reminds us that there's something more. That you know what? No matter how much we've blown it and we've messed up and I'm struggling and I never seem to get it right, but it's okay. It reminds us that He who started a good work in you, He's still working on you. It's not over yet. See, we need to be reminded. And when we get reminded, it stirs us up. And it begins to again, bring the flame a little bit hotter in our life. But not only that, but we need to engage. You see, we stir up one another by engaging with one another. And this is the thing that people don't understand. We can never stir up one another if we never have anything to do with one another. And that is why church is not a legalistic thing. It is not something, well, how many times you come to church isn't going to matter anything. But the question is, why are you not wanting to be engaged with the people of God? In other words, if we don't interact, if we don't become part of the life of the body, then you're not stirring up anything. You're just coming once and going, and you are making no impact. God has called us to be a family. And if we can't do it here, then find someplace where you can engage, where you can be a part of the life. Because if we are not part of the life and engaging in one another, you're not stirring anything up. In fact, many times you're just becoming something that kind of holds a blanket over it. But God has called us to engage with one another. And that means engagement sometimes is vulnerable because sometimes we get hurt. But that's okay. Sometimes in stirring it up, we talked about getting over some things. It doesn't mean that we're not going to ever have offenses in our life, but we're going to let the Lord give us that spirit of forgiveness where we actually grow closer to God because of the times that people hurt us. Because many times in those opportunities to forgive and those opportunities to not be offended, we actually begin to experience the redemptive power of God. But that only happens when we engage. And many people, they can't engage because they've been hurt once and it's like they're afraid to ever get hurt again. We've got to get over that, because if we can never engage with one another and become vulnerable, and there's sacrifice involved, because to engage in the church means you have to give up something else that you're engaged with. See, there's a problem. What are we choosing to be engaged in? What is that thing that we have set our roots in? Church sometimes is a deception because we think we're part of the church. And I'm going to just tell you, you're not what you think you are, because we're really in these other things that are more important, but we dabble in the church and do our thing, and yet we're not part of the body. If we are to stir up one another, we've got to get engaged with one another. We've got to be a part of one another's life. If I'm going to stir up the Spirit, then how can I stir up the Spirit within you if I'm not breathing into you? Because many times the stir up, how many know you blow on it? When you blow on those coals, you see the red begin to grow into flame. And how can we do that if we're not breathing into one another? It's good to greet each other, shake our hands on Sunday, and then go our way, but that's not breathing life into one another. It's the day-in journey of years and months and of sacrifice of becoming engaged with one another that we begin to stir up the Spirit of God within us. But the final thing, if we are to stir up one another, we need to remind each other of what God is doing. We need to remind each other of God's promises and what he has done in our lives. We need to engage and be part of each other's lives. We need to begin to spend time together. But we also need to connect. And this is not with one another. Engage is about connecting with one another. But we need to, how can we stir up the Spirit if we are not connecting to the Spirit of God ourselves? You can't stir up the fire if you are not part of the fire. We need to begin to connect to the Holy Spirit. We need to begin to individually even determine that, God, I need your touch so that I can light something else. You see, if you want to help stir up the fire of someone else, you need to say, God, light me on fire so that I become that contagious part that can then touch someone else and lend fire to him. But many of us, you know, we're so dead and dry that you ain't going to stir up anyone else. We need to say, God, I need a new connection to the life of God. I need a new connection to the Spirit of God. God, I need you to open me up and reconnect me. It's like that plug that has become disconnected to the circuit. I have no power. And if I'm ever going to empower someone else, I need to be plugged in so that I've got power. So to connect means, God, I need to be plugged back in. I need to be plugged back into the Spirit. I need to be plugged back in to your love. I need a new touch of your life in me. You see, if we start to have that desire, that brokenness within us, you'll make a difference in this church. Because it's people that are broken and hungry for God that begin to make a difference, whether you're even trying or not. Because how many know, it's kind of like that story we talked about a few weeks ago with Samson, who took the foxes and he lit their tails on fire. Those foxes didn't want to go light the whole fields and all the haystacks on fire, but they couldn't help it because they were on fire. And so just as they ran through the field, everything else kind of, if we will get on fire for God, you may not even want to be trying to, but you will stir other people up because of your own flame. So we need to determine, God, I need to reconnect with you. If we will begin to connect with God, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in this church. Who's going to be that person who starts it? I'm going to tell you, why not you? We always look to someone else. Well, if someone else would start worshiping, if someone else would come to the altar, you know, we have our two or three regulars that come to the altar, but no one else does. Well, at what point are you ever going to decide, I want to begin to be reconnected? I don't care what he talked about. I'm going to go to the altar, even if it's a subject that wasn't even me. I just want more of God. Since when are we going to desire to be plugged in again so that we can stir up one another and begin to see this church be more than just a meeting place, but a place where God is on fire and changing life? Because it's only when the fire is hot that it makes a difference. It's only when the fire is hot that anything gets changed. If you ever worked in animals with branding, how many know when they brand that animal is known whose it belongs to because of its brand. But that brand only is there if the brand is hot enough. Because you can take a brand that is just warm, and you can press it on that animal, and it'll leave an indentation. But how many know that after a while, that'll go away? It's not until the brand is red hot that it burns it into that flesh that they are forever marked. Guys, if you want to forever mark people for Christ, you've got to be on fire. You can't just be warm. We can't just be, it's a nice place to be and make them feel comfortable. They might be indented for a while, but how many know we've had people and they're no longer here? You know why? Because we weren't hot enough to make a true, lasting difference. And that only comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from our good intentions. It doesn't come from our ability to be nice, friendly people. It is only the Holy Spirit that can change a life. It's only the Holy Spirit can free someone from things that have a hold on us. It's only the Holy Spirit that can begin to transform a mind that struggles with fear and depression and anxiety. We need the Holy Spirit, and it's got to start with us. It has to start with you. Everyone here, don't look to someone else. It's you that the Holy Spirit wants to begin to move in their life. So the question is, will we begin to stir up one another? Will we begin to see one another as someone that the Holy Spirit wants to move in? And if I am going to have any impression on anyone, then Holy Spirit, move through me. Let's begin to be a church that God is building, that not only do we serve one another, not only do we love one another, not only do we encourage one another, not only do we begin to forgive one another, but we begin to stir one another up. We begin to bring a flame of the Holy Spirit into this place that when we come, I only want to begin to share the Spirit with one another, to make this a place where God is lifted up. And when it's not, I don't look to other people to blame. When I say things need to change, it's not we need a new pastor, I need to go to a different place. No, usually the reason a church, when people leave churches because that church doesn't feed me, is because they didn't bring a desire to stir up the Spirit themselves. We need to stop blaming other people and begin to say, I will be the person who makes a difference. And if no one else takes charge, then I'll be a one person on fire for God in that place. Because the church needs it until the Holy Spirit moves. We need you to begin to say, God, use me to stir up one another.